Whosoever believeth in him may not perish, but may have life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, we have today the feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And this feast has a very exact date of origin, and it comes from the times when the Roman Empire just had started to abandon old paganism and convert to the true religion, the religion of the cross, Christianity. The pagans of the Roman Empire had really hated Christianity and tried to do everything they could to hide Jesus from the sight of men. And in Holy Land, they also did their utmost to hide the burial place of our Lord. And in that place, they erected the big statue of Jupiter, the pagan idol there. When the empire was, after persecution, ruled by Constantine the Great, this emperor had a very good and pious mother named Saint Helena. And Saint Helena had so great love and affection towards Jesus' cross that she made a trip to Holy Land and decided that she would visit the holy places with the royal pilgrimage there. But when she saw that the burial place of Jesus was defiled by all these pagan monuments, she ordered all the statues and the buildings to be pulled down so that the true burial place, the true Calvary of Jesus, would not remain hidden. And on this place, she found the true cross in the year 326. And she had the unique privilege for, after all these centuries, to look and behold that true wooden cross which brought salvation to the whole world. Dear faithful, this beautiful historical event shows us very much how the world truly needs cross even today. The world cannot be saved, or the people of the world cannot be saved without cross, without this glorious banner of our Lord's death, and which death has brought the redemption to all those who believe in him. The world without cross is truly world without hope. And even after all these blasphemies against Holy God, against the true cross, against the Holy Catholic religion, how can we still say that we have hope, we have trust in the true cross, when everything seems to be so murky, everything seems to be so dark? And how can this ridiculed banner be our hope when we are in danger of losing our hope? Where should we go? Where should we trust? And the answer is exactly the same as it has been in hundreds and hundreds of years, to the Holy Cross of Jesus. This cross, which for the world was the edict of shame, which was the sign of defeat, is for Christians a true banner of victory and true hope and salvation. It's a little bit the same as the Battle of Waterloo was defeat for the Frenchmen, but a great victory to the Englishmen. And there's a good story connected to that battle, which explains the difference on which side you should be on the war. There was once a Frenchman who had lived in England for many years, and finally this Frenchman decided to become a British citizen. So he approached the authorities at London and went through all the necessary bureaucracy and ceremony, and of course paid the usual fee for that bureaucracy. And upon his return to his home country, France, a friend of his asked, "Well, I guess you are an Englishman now, but really, I don't see any difference in you." "Ah," said the new naturalized citizen of British Empire, "but there is a difference. Yesterday, Waterloo was a defeat. Today, it is a victory." Dear faithful, one who truly wants to change his course of life by turning back to God may look the same on the outside, but he truly is different inside. Just like us, we need necessarily to live in the world. We need to live within these darknesses and sorrows which the world brings with itself. But still, there is a big and a crucial difference in us compared to the people of the world. Good Friday and Calvary were truly shameful and defeatful for the people of the world, just like Waterloo was defeat for Frenchmen. But for Christians, it is truly a victory. That cross on which Jesus was tortured so greatly, it is truly banner and hope of victory. And on this world, we have been revealed and we have been told by Holy Mother Church that only he can be saved who is part of the kingdom of God on earth. Only those who are citizens of his kingdom on earth have this great and trustful hope. What about then those outside? Are they destroyed in the final act of judgment by God? Are those even many of our dear ones who refuse to embrace this holy cross? Are they doomed to perishing like the Frenchmen in Waterloo? The answer to that is such as a lovely, just as trustful and just as sweet as the whole life of Jesus was. In this life, there's always time for healing. There was always time for grace and embracing the holy cross of Jesus. After that life is over, our Lord will return, not anymore as a graceful redeemer, but as a strict judge who will do everything right, who will reward the good and punish the wicked. And for every single person in the world, good or bad, he has to make account of his life on this, the front of this judge, our Lord Christ the King. If anybody in the whole world, if he has done good, he will be rewarded. And if he has done evil, he will be punished. God is truly their rigid judge, but he is also a just judge. And shouldn't this fact that he is a true and just judge of the world be rather than source of worry, shouldn't that be the source of immense relief? When everybody's final judgment time comes, there will be any more no scheming, there will be no more any bribery, there will be no more any corruption, all of those which we sadly face every day in this life. When anybody receives his final reward or judgment in the hands of Almighty God, we can all of us sigh a great relief. Finally, he truly gets his true reward. There will be no more any doubt that a good and just judge will have judged him correctly. And all of us who have faced the situation of losing our dear members of the family or dear friends, this great idea of a good and merciful, but also just judge, our Lord Jesus, who died on the cross. It should arouse us so much affection, so much sympathy for our deceased loved ones, that we should double our prayers for them. We should double the prayers for him and for these poor souls in purgatory, and often have masses to be said for their deliverance from punishment. Because even if the bad deeds of the world deserve punishment, the cross of that world has brought, the cross of our Lord Jesus has brought us redemption. That cross has given us hope. And when we remember this and offer our veneration and affection to that great cross, there will be no more any fear of our perishing. There will be no fear of a judgment, but there will be happy expectation of everlasting reward, which God has infallibly promised to all his children and carriers of his cross on this earth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.